At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. You guys know what that means. I'm joined, as always, by my friend LKC Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitter machine. Bubba, what is going on?
Not much, my friend. Just holiday season, bringing some holiday cheer, talking some sports. I'll say sports because not all sports are doing things these days, but the NBA is back. I actually watched NBA, Bugs. I'm trying to make more of an effort because I know one of these days you're going to ask me questions, and I want to be able to answer them. So I'm doing that. And other than that, just trying to stay safe out there and enjoy the time we have. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, we got to record a little early this week, so I'm doing my Tuesday and Wednesday scramble of getting everything done, 4 days worth of recording in 2 days, you know. So I'm doing that, but then I'm going to enjoy a nice long weekend. So I'm excited about that. Mom's going to make some sausage bread. So I get sausage bread. I get it for Christmas and my birthday, and that's it. Like it goes away for the rest of the year.
Well, that's why it makes it special. If you got it all the time, it wouldn't be special.
You're 100% right. It would be just like Whataburger or something like that. You know,
when a wife says a certain thing. That's why we only get it twice a year.
You know, beggars can't be choosers, right, Bubba?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That is what I have found out. But speaking of beggars, Dwayne Haskins, he's going to be begging for a job next year with the stuff that he's doing. What did you think about his strip club mishap here?
There were so many things. Like you could say, well, here's Ohio State doing Ohio State things. Like was a tattoo parlor hooked up to the strip club? There's just so many dumb things about him. It's like, okay, you're a number one pick that people questioned. You can't do anything. They finally got your starting job back. You still couldn't figure that out. And now you're out there during the middle of a pandemic when the rules are strict at a strip club with no mask on. You weren't even at dinner, like having with no mask on. Deshaun Watson did that and got fined $7,500. You're at a goddamn strip club with lap dances. Like, come on, man.
And that's what I told
my friend COVID might be the least disease he's worried about.
Yeah, exactly. You got the clap. Yeah, exactly. So you got to worry about that, and herpes stays for life.
Yep, and the drip doesn't go straight away. So.
Doesn't go away with the vaccine. So we got to hit a break. When we come back, we'll tie a bow on this Haskins talk and talk about the Pro Bowl a little bit. Welsh hates it, refuses to speak about it. So Bubba will talk about it with me. We'll talk about the Pro Bowl right after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. We're also on Mightier 1090 in San Diego. So much fun we're having. Bubba is with me at BDNTrick on the Twitter machine. And please, Bubba, tell everyone where they can find your great work.
Bench with Bubba podcast. That's the one that's been blowing and going for quite a while now. So check that out and really appreciate it. Fantasy baseball for the most part, but we'll dabble in some other things there. And then written content, I got my rankings out for the 2021 season at Fantasy Sports Degens. I do DFS and some seasonal work at rotoballer.com. The Fantasy Black Book for 2021 is out. I did the first base and third base previews. That's Mr. Joe P. Sapia's pride and joy. So go check that out. The Welsh is in there and many other people. There's always stuff going on that I'm doing stuff and things, as they say at ITL. So I have a lot going on. And just check me out on Twitter at BDNTrick, and you'll get all the goodies there.
Now, like I said before, Welsh refuses to talk about the Pro Bowl with me. He does not enjoy it. And I understand that take. Like, the Pro Bowl sucks. It's not a good game. They shouldn't even be playing it, to be honest with you. It should just be like flag football or punt, pass, and kick or skills competition like they always did in Hawaii and all that stuff. Like, the game is, I guess they're going to do some big Madden tournament thing this year with celebrities and NFL players, Welsh was telling me. And I have a hard time not rolling my eyes hard when people say that stuff. So, but some of the names are interesting here. I mean, I think, you know, at least this year we won't get so many guys bowing out. So we get, you know, 400 Pro Bowlers when, you know, like everyone's a Pro Bowler because you got to go down 8 running backs to find one that'll actually show up to play in the game. So we won't have that since the game's not being played this year. But I thought, you know, the quarterbacks, hard to pick in the AFC specifically against Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Deshaun Watson. Like, those guys are great. But, you know, looking at some snub list on a couple of them, Ryan Tannehill, your boy, shows up.
My boy is well-deserving of a Pro Bowl nod. But like you said, you can't argue with the three that got there. So there's always someone that gets left out, and I guess it's Tanny because – the other three guys, they usually get there anyways. So it's just kind of how it's going to work for him.
Right. And then in the NFC, if I'm if I can look correctly here, it is Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray. Did you see any snubs in the NFC? Or are you good with that group?
I'm probably good with that group. It's nothing surprising, that's for sure. Like, it would have been really angry if you put like Tom Brady in there just because it's Tom Brady or something. That would have been bad. But when it comes to the NFC, and quarterbacks in general, yeah, I'm just looking at the teams right now. There's really nothing that you can complain about those picks. I guess Tannehill will be the biggest snub out of them all because the NFC is pretty bad overall. When you start scrolling like Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford, those are like the next best things. And that really doesn't cut it for me.
Yeah. All right. So the running backs here in the AFC, we've got Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, and Josh Jacobs. But I actually do have an issue here with James Robinson not getting in. I mean, I'm probably still a little, I mean, I don't even have Josh Jacobs in anywhere that matters for me. I actually did make one championship. I thought I was definitely going down in all of them. I made one, but don't have Josh Jacobs in that one. But I still hate the fact that he did the fantasy bit and then kind of gave the middle finger to a bunch of fantasy owners and stuff. Like, you don't have to like fantasy as a player. You don't even have to care. You know, I don't care. Don't answer fantasy questions and all that kind of stuff, but don't F with us. You know what I mean? Like don't mess with us for your own laughter and all that kind of stuff. So, but anyway, like I said, probably a little jaded because of that, but James Robinson having a great year. I really felt like he deserved to make it. What do you think about Josh Jacobs versus James Robinson?
100%. It should be James Robinson. Like, Nick Chubb has been well-deserving. Derrick Henry, there's no questioning that, but Josh Jacobs has been hurt a lot this year. Really hasn't dominated every game like you'd expect, like those other two did. And you look at James Robinson for a Jaguars team that's been so bad. Like, they let Fournette go for a reason, and they trusted James Robinson. He's been getting I'm just off the top of my head from DFS work, over 20 touches a game. He's PPR gold. He gets it done on the ground. He's double-digit fantasy production time and time again, usually 15-plus, a lot of 20-plus point fantasy production games. So I know this is real-life football. We're talking about Pro Bowl, but you can kind of correlate how they're doing statistically. And James Robinson is one heck of a running back. And I don't know if it's because it's the Jags and they're fighting for Lawrence or what it is, but, you know, Jacobs, I don't think deserved it. Definitely not over Robinson.
Yeah. And just looking at the stats here, you know, it's as far as running backs go, James Robinson, 1,070 rushing yards with 7 touchdowns. Jacobs had, 907 with 10 touchdowns. So more touchdowns, but, catches, 49 for Robinson, 33 for Jacobs. As far as yards go, it's 344 to 238, so over 100 more yards for Robinson. So over 200 yards more total, and he played in one more game. He has one receiving touchdown, which he just got. Three receiving touchdowns to none for Jacobs. So it's 10 touchdowns apiece and 200 more yards for Robinson, and working with a way worse offense. So I'm absolutely with you. I mean, Robinson is going to be valuable next year, specifically if they get Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Lawrence isn't going to come in and change everything, but he is going to make the offense run way, way, way smoother than Glennon or Minshew. I know you like Minshew, but
I like Minshew because he's a fun meme, basically. Like, right, he's entertaining. Like, I don't like him like I like Tannehill. Let's put it
right. Down. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to start a life with him.
I know Tannehill can reciprocate the love because he's actually talented on the field, where Minshew, he might, you know, do a Dwayne Haskins on me and I'll never see him again.
For the wide receivers here, we got Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, and AJ Brown. Hard to argue against that in the AFC. You know, I guess if we're looking at points per game, the next guy that would come up would be, you know, Will Fuller, but he got suspended. You don't want to put him in there. And then, man, there's so many good NFC wide receivers.
Yeah, well, like AFC like owns quarterbacks and running backs. The NFC's got the receivers down.
They really do. Like, just looking at points per game, it's Adams, then Hill, then Calvin Ridley, who is a giant snub here. Yes. Like, Calvin Ridley has to go in, but the NFC wideouts were Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf, and Justin Jefferson. It's tough to say.
Maybe Calvin over Jefferson.
Ridley. Yeah, he should go in over Jefferson. I mean, he should. If you look at the numbers here, Calvin Ridley, 77 catches, 1,192 yards, 9 touchdowns. Justin Jefferson not having a bad year, 73, 1,182, 7 touchdowns. So they're both getting great production, but Calvin Ridley also, I think, has played one fewer game, so they have almost identical numbers, and Ridley's done it in one fewer game. But, you know, maybe that's the difference. This is less of a snub to me than James Robinson, but Calvin Ridley definitely has a gripe, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. And he's been awesome. I saw someone tweet love for Chris Godwin last year. Ridley's numbers are like identical to what Godwin did. So we're finally seeing that like jump. And I, you know, the caveats there is Julio's been out so much. We knew even coming into this year, games that Julio missed, Godwin goes crazy. I mean, Ridley goes crazy, but he's taking advantage of it. And it's more power to him because the defense obviously is going to, you know, move towards him when Julio's out, and he's still balling out big time. So he's awesome. He's well-deserving. It's just funny because, you know, while you were talking, I was thinking, you know, thinking about guys like McLaurin, if he had a real quarterback, like how good he'd be. Like, yeah. There's so many guys in the NFC, if they have talented around them, it'd be wild.
And there's just, there's so much wide receiver depth too. Like you should probably, like the Pro Bowl should probably shave a tight end off and add a wide receiver, right?
It'd be like, fun, like for a fantasy gig, for anybody that's actually doing content on that, like writing, do like second half, because you could have like Jonathan Taylor's finally showed up, David Montgomery's finally shown up, Brandon Ayuk's finally shown up, like all these guys that would be blowing dudes out of the water. That's how deep it is right now. But you got to think whole season, obviously, for the Pro Bowl.
Right, for the Pro Bowl. And then the tight ends is where I really have a gripe. Yeah, like, and it's not in the AFC, Kelce and Waller. I mean, that's obvious. We're probably going to have to hit more of this when we come back from the break, but the two for the NFC, one I'm fine with. TJ Hawkinson is fine. Like he's played well enough to make the Pro Bowl. I'm fine with that. Evan Engram is the second tight end, and I like Evan Engram, but he is not a Pro Bowl tight end, especially not with some good Pro Bowl caliber other tight ends in the NFC. We're going to talk about that. When we come back, we're also going to start hitting Bubba's bets for this week. Got to make up from last week. He didn't even text me or mention it at all. So we'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In This League.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. We are having so much fun here. I, Scott Bogman, here with Casey Bubba at Bogman Sports for me, at BDNTrek on the Twitter for him. Please check out the Patreon if you would. It's patreon.com/ITL Army, where we are having so much fun. We got all kinds of stuff for you. Welsh has got his baseball rankings up there, his prospect rankings. I'm going to do an overhaul of dynasty football rankings at the end of the season with all of this year's stuff. We're going to start doing my deep dive on NFL draft prospects as well. We got group me rooms in there. Basketball season just kicked off, so we're going to be doing shows about that constantly. The Real Big Three is coming back with myself, Dan Bespris, and Jonas Nader to our fantasy basketball feed, so be sure to check that out. We're going to be doing that live every week, too. So, you know, if you have a question, we'll be taking questions in there, too. So we're having a lot of fun talking about fantasy sports. Bubba, you and I are talking about the Pro Bowl. We are talking about tight ends to end out the last segment. And Evan Engram getting in over either Robert Tonyan or Logan Thomas is just surprising to me. You mentioned this off air that, you know, Tonyan has like the same number.
10 touchdowns, yeah.
As Evan Engram, but he has 10 touchdowns to however, I don't even know how many.
Like one or two for Engram. I know that. I saw it earlier today and I just started laughing. I'm like, big Bob cannot be happy about this.
Yeah, and we were figuring some things out on the break, so we went to go look at PFF ratings and stuff, and Justin Jefferson is the number two rated wide receiver on PFF. So that is probably, if the numbers are fairly similar and Calvin Ridley between him, okay, yeah, I could see giving it to Justin Jefferson for doing all the other small things that, just running routes better, blocking better, all that good stuff. So I get it. So I'm not against Jefferson, but when I see Calvin Ridley out there, I love Calvin Ridley, and I like Jefferson too. I like him coming in to this year. I still can't believe that the Eagles took Jalen Reagor over him.
I'm not even a big prospect guy like you are. I watch college. I enjoy college, but you are like the guru to me. I text you questions about it, and I wanted Justin Jefferson, like the Dolphins, to take Justin Jefferson. I'm like, I love this guy. I actually watched a lot of LSU games, so I love Joey Burrow. Like, give me Jefferson. And then when I saw Philadelphia of all teams go and take Jalen Reagor, I was like, what? What just happened?
I like Reagor too, but I felt like they already have that type of a guy in Philly and Deshaun Jackson. Obviously he's long in the tooth and everything, but it just seemed to me like, Alshon Jeffrey is on his way out. You need a big possession wide receiver in Philly because Zach Ertz is getting older. Dallas Goedert is great, but he's not as good as Zach Ertz in his prime. Right. So, he has a chance to be really good. Goddard does, but I don't think he's ever going to be Ertz good. So, we'll see. He's definitely got time, but you need a big possession guy. And they definitely could have used it because 1-2-3 sack for Carson Wentz was not a good strategy for them to go into this year with at all. So let me ask you this. So we're kind of done with the Pro Bowl. We can put it to bed. We're not going to talk about the defensive side as much. I'll stick to that on an IDP pod with Gary at some point. Didn't do it today, but maybe we'll do it next week on a wrap-up show. But your fantasy season, are you in any championships? Did you make any?
Oh, this is going to be better. This is going to be bittersweet for you. So last week when we talked, I said there was two left, two standing. And I said, one, I got a chance in because I had the most points scored, but I've also faced the most points against. I was fourth facing the one seed going into the week. And going into Monday night, it 6-point passing touchdown league, I was up 21 points and I had no one left to go. And they had Big Ben.
Yeah.
So I thought I had no chance. And then I was literally, wasn't even watching the first half of the game. I was doing stuff in my house and I picked up my phone. I saw the score early third quarter. It's about the same time I sent that tweet out.
Yeah, that great tweet, Bubba. Thanks for that. Love that, you jerk.
That's what friends are for. And that's when I started thinking, huh. And then I made a point. I was not going to open the fantasy app until the game was over. I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to look at it until the game's over. Because with the Bungles, he could have easily thrown three touchdowns in the second half and no one would be surprised. I'm just not going to look.
opening in the third quarter, you probably were like, oh, God, here it comes.
Yes, but I'm in one championship. So, yes, we have life.
Yeah, I just did a guest spot on a baseball podcast, but the guy who has been in the Army, Robbie Baseball, I know he's a huge Bengals fan. So he showed up in a Bengals beanie and an Ocho Cinco jersey, and he had an Andy Dalton jersey on under that. I'm like, you have anyone that plays on the team now? He's like, no, I can't watch them now. They're terrible. So,
Get a Joey Covers jersey. Come on.
Yeah. I think Robbie is just way too much baseball now. I don't think he watches football that much, which is understandable, especially when you're a Bengals fan. But yeah, man, it sucked. My favorite part of the year on a yearly basis is watching the Bengals fans leave the escalator of sadness with another loss. There was a while there when the Bengals were really good with Carson Palmer and all that stuff where they would beat us in Pittsburgh and we would beat them in Cincinnati. I don't know why it worked that way, but it was just the way it worked. So, but this was definitely this was the worst Bengals loss for me personally since
Ryan Finley.
Yeah, dude, you don't have to tell me, dude. Right? I watched the whole thing. I wasn't able to not watch one half, but this was the worst one since they beat us and it looked like they had knocked us out of the playoffs. We weren't mathematically eliminated. And by the way, we went on to win the Super Bowl that year. That was Super Bowl 40 year. So 2005, if I'm remembering my years correctly. But that was when TJ Houshmandzadeh wiped his feet with a terrible towel. And that was not good. Yeah, that was really stupid to do.
Is it like Juju dancing on the logo?
Yeah, yeah, it's idiotic. Like it's dumb. You can't do that kind of stuff. To Juju's credit, he's done that for every team. It's not like he's picking on a random team.
People are just finding
to do that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, look, Lindale White did that. Where is he right now? I don't even know if Lindale's still going. So, well,
real question for you. I know we weren't going to talk about it, and this is me not poking at you, but I am actually curious. Yeah. The last 3 weeks have been horrific. And we talked about even last week, the last 2 weeks before that. How concerned are you with them actually? Because a little on 11-0, we're awesome. This is great. They look great. No concern.
They're one and done. They will not get out of the first round.
Yeah, so. they look. Yeah, I wanted to hear you say it because you follow them so much closer, and maybe I'm missing something. But I'm like,
no. I said to the Welsh earlier, they are worse than the Jets right now. Like they're the worst in the NFL right now, and I'm not kidding. Like that's how they're playing.
That's a Welsh response after a bad day.
And that's what I said too. I said I know you're the guy that they're the worst on the planet, and they should fold as a franchise whenever they lose a game and all that stuff. But like. Right now, I've never seen this team play as bad as this. And I've never seen a team that you could say at one point was the best team in the league. At one point in this season, they were. They peaked at the wrong time, and now they are one of the worst. You lose to a 2-10 team, you're one of the worst teams in the league. There's no in-between on that. There's no covering it up. There's no dodging it. You're terrible. So,
what was the worst loss, the Bengals or the Rams losing to the Jets?
Oh,
at home, 17.5 point favorites.
Yeah, that's I think that might be the worst loss.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad.
You give you are 100% of the Jets' victories this year. The Rams are. So
if you're a Jets fan, how angry are you about that win?
I'm not happy. I can tell you that much. Like I still like Sam Darnold and think if you get a different coach in there,
I'm with you there.
It can work. And you know, if the Jaguars don't win, and you know we don't expect them to win because they won week one and that's it, but if they don't win a game and they get the first overall pick, they're going to take Lawrence, and you know that, and that's just burn. But the number two pick is one of the best tackle prospects in Penei Sewell that we have had in years. Like you're going to hear, you know, I know people say this every draft for multiple players, but generational tackle, that is Penei Sewell. So they're going to get him, and he's going to be on the left side protecting whoever the quarterback is, blindside, and Becton gets to shift over to right tackle. Like, you're going to have bookend tackles for a decade.
They get Darnold some cut. Like, and there's weapons there for him. So I remember we talked going into the season. I like Darnold as a late round, like, quarterback too, because I believe in his talent. I forgot how bad Adam Gase was. So, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. A new head coach could do a lot.
Yeah. So, they can put together some decent stuff with him, I think. So, but we'll see. I mean, they might get rid of Darnold in the offseason and go with Justin Fields, take a quarterback, or however they want to do it in the offseason. But, Bubba, let's get to these bets.
We don't need to talk about last week. I'm not here to talk about the past.
Oh, all right. So I knew you were going to pull out Mark McGwire here. You were good against the spread. You're 8-7. Yeah. Over and under. Look.
Not good.
It has been great to let you've been the Steelers the last 3 weeks.
Yes. Right? Good comparison. Yes.
Yeah. So it's been ugly. We don't have to talk about it. You know, it's just if you're picking the different ones from me, and I wasn't good. I was 6-9.
So yeah, I hit my ITL parlay pick. Okay.
12-3 against the spread. By the way,
we've like switched bodies or something.
Yeah. Yeah. We're hitting on the wrong cylinders and then the right cylinders and the wrong cylinders. That's the NFL season. But let's get in one game before we go to break. Let's start out with Tampa Bay at Detroit. This is the early Saturday game. Not sure when this is going to air because we're recording it early. So maybe this game still hasn't played as you listen to this. Tampa Bay by 9.5, 53.5 is the over, Bob.
Yeah, Detroit's playing so bad and Tampa Bay doing Tampa Bay things. But I'll take Detroit at home plus 9.5 in this one and give me the over. I think we get points in this game. So give me Detroit 9.5 and then the over.
Detroit by 9.5 plus 9.5 and the over. Of course, it makes sense because I took Tampa Bay and the under. So with that being said, we will be right back. We're going to break down all of these picks. We're going to get Bubba's ITL pick. We're going to get his parlay as well. You got to stick here with us to hear it. And we will be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody. We are having so much fun. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. We're also on the Mighty 1090 in San Diego. It's me, Scott Bogman, at Bogman Sports on the Twitter, with Casey Bubba at BD Antrick. We are doing our bets for the week. You have taken the opposite of me on pick one, Detroit and the over. I have Tampa Bay and the under, but we are forging ahead. We're not here to talk about the past, Bubba. We're here to talk about the future. The Niners are on the road, kind of, at Arizona, even though they played some home games here this year. So they're not in unfamiliar territory. And, you know, surprisingly, you can still do pretty much whatever you want in Arizona, but they're not letting a lot of people in the stands. So there's not going to be a big home crowd here for the Cards. But Arizona is a 4.5-point favorite. 48.5 is the over. No Kittle, or no, excuse me, Kittle might be back. No Mullins and no Mostert in this game for the Niners.
Yeah, it's a rough go for the Niners to try and stay healthy. I honestly, just let Kittle sit out the rest of the year, guys. Yeah. I know that's not his style. Just let him sit out. I guess it's dumb. But I'm going to take Arizona on this one. Kyler looked a lot more like Kyler last week, and if that's the case, they're going to run all over the Niners. So give me Arizona and give me the over, because we saw how bad that Niners defense is getting with these injuries, the way the Cowboys move the football. If you have a healthy Edmonds, a healthy Drake, and a healthy Kyler, they're going to run all over them, not to mention, you know, Hopkins and company. This could be one of those games like the early season Cardinals show up.
Yeah, lockstep. I am right there with you. The Niners lost to the Cowboys last week. Look, the Cowboys play inspired from Mike McCarthy the last couple weeks, so you got to give him credit where it's due. But yeah, I'm with you. This is the Cardinals. Kyler is definitely over that sprained AC joint. He is good to go. The last Saturday game, Miami at the Las Vegas Raiders. They are 2.5-point favorites. The Dolphins are 47.5 is the over. What say you on this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go homer on this one again. I love everything about this Dolphins team. I love it. They're playing great, great football. The Raiders are playing well, but give me the Dolphins. Give me the over on this one, as Tua just keeps things going and they get the dub.
All right, I took Miami. I took the under because I don't know if – are we getting Carr back? Or is it Mariota? Like, I don't
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing. You know, Mariota didn't look bad, though. Like, I don't know how much of a dip they take if he plays as well as he did. But a lot of the times you see those quarterbacks come in, they're not, you know, they're not really prepped for that guy. And, you know, they lose the game because of it. The Chargers ended up still winning that game, but that was a fun game, by the way.
Hey, and they have a Pro Bowl running back, so they're fine.
Yeah, exactly. A Pro Bowl running back in Josh Jacobs. They're fine. Not a dick at all, Josh Jacobs. How about the Chiefs hosting the Falcons? They are 10.5-point favorites, 53.5. I mean, this seems like a roll, but the Chiefs' favorite thing to do is not cover big spreads. So how do you want to play this game? This is a tough one to call.
I wouldn't bet this with your money, but if I had to, I'd take the Falcons plus 10.5 for the reasons of the Chiefs leave the back door open all the time. And I said it last week, and the Falcons fell apart in the second half, but they're playing much better under Morris. So I have a feeling they find a way to keep it close. Give me the Falcons plus 10.5, but give me the over in this one. There will be some points being scored.
I took KC again because I'm an idiot. I just like and I know our guy Fam said take a shot every time I say fold up shop, but the Falcons have folded up shop. Like they're done. That losing that game to Tampa Bay in that manner, like you're gonna lose Tom Brady. You're gonna lose to Tom Brady again like that. What are you doing? Like you're giving up. The Bears are on the road against the Jaguars. They are 7.5-point road favorites. Who would have thought that? We were talking about Nick Foles as a starting quarterback and what a mistake he was. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that we would say that the Bears were 7.5-point road favorites at any point this year. But they didn't look like they could score at all. But they're at Jacksonville, who, like we said, has not won since week one. 46.5 is the over in this game. How do you see that one going, Bob?
Another game I'd be scared to bet. But give me the Jags plus 7.5 just because the Bears on the road getting over a touchdown just does not work for me. So give me the Jags plus 7.5 and give me the under in this one. Both teams want to slow this game down as much as possible.
All right. We are absolute opposite on that one as well. I'm taking Chicago. They're playing strong football right now. I mean, the Jags didn't even have a punter last week.
Hey, it's so 2020 when Montgomery is like a lead back right now. It's great.
No, it's because Montgomery's good, and he's never had any good play around him. So I'm still a Montgomery guy. I'm still on
board. I draft him every year because no one else does, but yeah.
Yeah, well, put me in your league. You won't have to take him. I'll take him right off your hands. So especially if they get a decent quarterback. And I think at this point they got to stick with Mitch, right?
They have to. I just like I said about Darnold, I don't mind Mitch if he's in the right system. We've seen it even last year when he was playing well. You know, you keep a fast pace going, let him be a little mobile. Use the strengths of your quarterback to run your offense, and you can do the good things.
Cincinnati coming off a big win. They are on the road at Houston. Houston's still a big favorite here by 8 at home. 46.5 is the over. Are you going with the Bengals, or are they going to let down here?
It feels like a massive letdown spot. It would not surprise me if it's a massive letdown spot, but I don't think Cincinnati plus 8 because Houston is a massive letdown. Give me Cincinnati plus 8 and give me the over in this one as both teams' defense is not great, Bob.
Houston and the under for me. Houston just played Indianapolis pretty well, I thought. I think Cincinnati was given points. I mean, Bettis gave the ball up. Juju gave the ball up. You know,
did you just say Bettis?
Did I say Bettis? I meant yeah. Ben. My bad. Ben gave the ball. I have a Bettis thing here. Ben gave the ball up. Jesus, I can't believe I said Bettis. It is past my bedtime. So it's medicine o'clock for me, apparently. Ben gave the ball up twice. He threw a pick, almost threw a second pick, fumbled a snap. Juju fumbled after dancing. We set them up to score, you know. Houston's defense is bad, but I think that they can put a spy on Ryan Finley so he doesn't run, which apparently the Steelers just gave up. But the Browns are on the road against the Jets, who just won, but the Browns are still 9.5-point road favorites, 47.5. Is the over in that one? How does that one play out, Bob?
Browns are legit, but give me the Jets plus 9.5. No, he does not. He does not come out from underneath the turf. But Jets plus 9.5 and the under in this one.
All right, I took Cleveland, but I did take the under. I just think the Rams are so Jekyll and Hyde, and the Browns aren't. The Browns are one of the hottest teams.
Isn't Baker due for like a Baker game?
I hope so. Like that would take all the sting of the. The sting of losing to the Bengals, if the Browns lost to the Jets, and the Steelers get the division if that happens. They win the division just automatically. What's going to happen is the Browns are going to beat the Jets, and the Steelers are going to lose to the Colts, and they're going to be playing for it on week 17, and the Steelers are going to lose that game by like 40. So we're going to be playing a road game probably against the Browns and then lose again. So
it'll be rough.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely going to be one of they're not playing good right now, but I took Cleveland. I just think, if you look at deep dive on those stats, Darnold was fine, but he wasn't good. And you're not going to win many games, given Frank Gore 23 carries in 22.
No, you're not. You're not.
Steelers hosting the Colts. The Colts are 1.5-point road favorites in Pittsburgh, 44.5. How do you see that one going?
As much as we bombed on the Steelers, I'll take Pittsburgh plus 1.5 in this one. I'll give them some respect at home, and I'll take the over. It's too low of a score. It's a 27-24 type game. Steelers win it at home against Philip Rivers and company.
All right. You and Welsh both taking my Steelers, and I'm taking the Colts. I don't even think it's self-deprecating. Maybe it is. I don't know.
It is.
Yeah, okay. It might be. And I'll be fine giving that up, and I hope I'm wrong. But I've not seen this team play this bad in a while. Even last year, I would never say it out loud, but there was a part of me that was like, can we get Rudolph warming up on the sideline or something? Ben looks terrible. you know, at least on the first half. The second half, when Ben threw the touchdown, I was like, okay, all right, maybe we can climb back in. Didn't work. How about the Giants on the road against the Ravens? The Ravens are 10.5-point favorites. 45.5 is the over on that one.
It's back-to-back weeks where Lamar's looked pretty darn good these days. So give me Baltimore minus 10.5 and give me the over in that one. Is I think Baltimore puts up 35-plus themselves.
Yeah, yeah, we're lockstep on that one. I am also Baltimore and the over. The Panthers are on the road against the Washington football teams, and they are 2.5-point home favorites. 44.5 is the over. Maybe change the name to the Washington Harassments. Maybe that would be a good name.
We'll see. Washington dollar bills, y'all.
But how do you see that one going?
I like Washington on this one. I think Alex Smith is supposed to make a comeback here. We'll see. Give me Washington and give me the under in this one because it still will be kind of ugly and low scoring.
All right. That's two in a row. Lockstep Washington and the under for me as well. The Broncos are on the road against the Chargers. They are the Chargers 3-point home favorites. 49.5 is the over on that one.
Yeah, two Jekyll and Hyde football teams, Chargers and Herbert get back on track. Anthony Lynn can't even screw this up. So Chargers minus 3, under 49.5.
All right, so I took the Chargers. I took the over. I thought we saw enough from Herbert to where the Chargers will put up most of those points. So we'll see. You know, Denver can score 2 touchdowns. I think we can get there, so we'll see. The Rams are on the road against the Seahawks. Seahawks are 1.5-point home favorites. 47.5 is the over on this one. This is one where I wouldn't bet it with your money. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I really want to take the Rams here, but I'm going to take Seahawks at home. It's getting towards playoff time, so Russell start cooking again. Give me Seattle and give me the over in this one.
A lockstep once again. Philly at Dallas. Philly is a 2.5-point favorite. 49.5 is the over in this game.
Yeah, everyone loves Jalen Hurts and for good reasons, but give me Dallas plus 2.5. I liked what I saw last week. Philly's defense is still just as bad as the Niners, if not worse. So give me Dallas and the over in this one.
Lock step, bub. I also took Dallas. Look, they're playing for McCarthy. Yep. I mentioned it a little bit earlier.
You smash a couple pieces of fruit in a locker room, magic happens.
Yeah, let's get that Gallagher act going. Yep. So it works for sure. So, all right. And the last two here, the Sunday night game, Tennessee at Green Bay. There's supposed to be fog in this game, I guess, from what I was reading earlier.
So it's going to be warm in Green Bay. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. Fog means warm. Yeah. Green Bay by 3, 56.5 as the highest over of the week.
I'll take Green Bay minus 3 for sure. And I like Tennessee a lot, as people know, but I'll take Green Bay minus 3. And I'll take the over just because I think both teams will throw it more than we expect them to. I really do think they will.
I mean, you know, Welsh took Tennessee. I don't see how.
Not on the road in Green Bay. Not going to happen.
Yeah, it's cold. It's a rough one. And my bigger thing is the defensive side for Tennessee. They put no pressure on the
court. They're not going to stop Rodgers at all.
Yeah, I mean, you give Rodgers.
Who's going to guard Adams?
Yeah, you give Rodgers. Oh, my God. Yeah, Malcolm Butler.
And Rodgers, he's just as angry as Tonyan is. So you don't think Tonyan, like, if you're playing showdown on Sunday night, play Robert Tonyan because he's going to get all the red zone targets.
Yeah, it's a good thing they're not playing against Evan Engram and the Giants, right? Yeah. So
I said since the start of the season that Rodgers is a very vindictive person. So just remember.
Yeah, so it's going to be, and when they're not putting pressure on the quarterback, he's just going to sit back there and pick them apart. It is not going to be fun to watch if you're a Tennessee fan, I don't think, but we'll see. That's why they play the games. Buffalo at New England. Buffalo, a 7-point road favorite in New England, already has the division locked up. I don't even know if Cam Newton's going to start. It looks like it might be Jarrett Stidham.
Is he really starting though anyways?
Yeah, really. Seriously.
Hey, Buffalo just won the division, and they don't care. They want to make them know it when they show up in New England. They're going to win by double digits. Buffalo minus 7. Give me the over because they're throwing – Josh Allen gets 4-plus touchdowns by himself.
Okay. All right. So this should be a fun one to watch. And that's why I said if you're a Patriots fan, don't watch this. I mean, you might enjoy the graphics of how many times they have beat Buffalo and everything, but it is going to be a Buffalo love fest on Monday Night Football. And that's going to be that. So, but that when we come back from this break, we're going to get Bubba's 3-team parlay and his pick for the ITL parlay. So stick with us. We'll be right back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. You hear Endless Love. You guys know what that means. It's the end of the three-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Like I said, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITLArmy, if you would. Please follow Bubba and I on the Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at BD Entrick for him, at Is the Welsh for the Welsh. Bubba, three-team parlay. We keep not making it. We all lost just one leg of it this week. So far, Welsh has Pittsburgh Indy over. I have Chicago -7.5. So those are the ITL ones. So you can't pick the opposite or those. So what are we going with?
For the ITL parlay, I'm going to go with Green Bay -3.
-3. I like that one.
Green Bay -3. For my parlay, I'll take Green Bay -3. I'll take the Baltimore Giants over, and Miami -2.5.
Yeah. Okay. So I took Cleveland -9.5 because they're going to roll Jacksonville. And I took Buffalo -7 because, like you said, they want to make them feel it.
Fans are not fans. Like, they're going to make Monday Night Football. They know all of New England's eyes will be on the TV. They're going to make them cry. They're going to feel the tears through the TV.
Dude, Buffalo, like, is Buffalo going to make the Super Bowl this year? Do you think they can beat Kansas City?
If any team can give them a battle, Josh Allen's that good. Like, he really is. And that defense is that good. It's tough to stop the Chiefs, but at least Buffalo has enough weapons to try to kind of man up to all their options. Like, they have enough pieces there. It's not like you have to pick one guy and hope the rest don't beat you. They can kind of at least try to stop Hill and Kelsey and make the other guys beat you or something.
And even if they can't, they can score with them too.
Exactly. It could be one of those 38, 35 last minute field goal type games.
Playoffs are going to be fun. I mean, probably not going to be fun for me the way my Steelers are playing, but they are going to be fun. That's for sure. But that is going to wrap it up for us this week. I hope you guys had great holidays and everything. Stay safe out there. A lot of stuff going around, of course, and New Year's always dangerous on the road. So be careful with your celebrations. Do it the right way. We love you. We will see you guys next week. Take it easy. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And we will see you later. Take it easy, everybody.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration.
Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.